sharks.
I like sharks too.
You turn this off.
It's all okay.
Glory, glory.
Praise God indeed. Hope everyone's doing well, having a wonderful day. Looking forward to a mighty move of God this evening in this midweek Bible study, refueling. There's so many ways we've used it so many times, but just love the Lord. Let's all stand if you can. I'm going to go to the Lord in prayer. Start off, if there's any spoken prayer requests. Anyone on my right side? Yes, ma'am. Them too. All right. We sure will. We'll lift them up to the Lord. Anyone else on my right side with a spoken prayer request tonight, this evening? All righty. All right. Praise the Lord. Anyone on the left side with a spoken prayer request tonight? Well, praise God. Praise God.
No, no, I need to do a praise report for my cousin's wife, Chris.
Yes.
Good.
Praise God.
Amen.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yes, Sister ma'am. Autumn called Olivia sick. She had to take her to the doctor just a little while ago, and so she wanted us to pray for her.
And for Billy's mom, for Brenda.
Yeah.
Ryan.
Yes.
Brother Butler.
Absolutely. And also, we've been praying, and I know we have been, but Sister Jenny, too, that comes at. Yes, just keep her in our prayers also. She was able to be with us the last couple of Sundays in Sunday school. Her heart's good. She's you know, but she knows God's got it all in His control. But that's what our faith is, that we're just giving it all to the Lord. I don't want to miss anyone. Any other spoken prayer requests this evening? All righty. If you have an unspoken, just show by the raising of your hand. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, we just praise You tonight. Dear Lord, we thank You for Your many, many blessings, for Your mercy, Your grace, and Your love. Dear Lord, thank You, dear Lord, for allowing us to gather in Your house and in Your name. Dear Lord, as we come together tonight, whether it be here with the young people downstairs or with the teens out in the other building, dear Lord, may we be in one mind and one accord. Dear Lord, may we release everything that's distracting us, anything that's weighing us down. We're watching online this evening, dear Lord. This is the opportunity we have to turn our attention on You. Lord, we're just going to praise You. We're going to worship You. And, dear Lord, we're going to prepare our hearts to hear Your message and Your word. Lord, we ask that the Holy Ghost just have a free ring amongst each and every one of us, Lord, that Your spirit would just flow. Lord, any time we gather together in these numbers, dear Lord, whether it be two or more, and, dear Lord, we just love and praise You. Lord, we ask now that all the prayer requests, so spoken and unspoken, Lord, You know the needs. Lord, we ask You to heal, to mend, to protect. Lord, for those that are sick and shut in, not able to be with us, dear Lord, we ask for a special blessing to be upon them. Lord, that wherever they are, they can hear, feel Your spirit. And Lord, for anyone watching this feed, dear Lord, whether it be now or at a later date, Lord, may they just know how much You're loved. Dear Lord, may they feel Your presence. And dear Lord, we give You all the honor and glory in Jesus' name. And we all say, amen, amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. While you're standing, turn to page 116. Am I right? I just messed up. Yes, 116. Getting ready to leave this world. I ask y'all to sing with us, and we're just going to worship the Lord. Come on up. Getting ready to leave this world. have a seat if you can. When you get a chance, turn around and wave to one of your neighbor and just tell them how much the Lord loves them. Just praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, as we were doing that, and as we were doing the third verse, it's scripture that's always given me hope, and it's given me that peace. And even in the loss of loved ones, or as we're going through situations in life, but it says, to prepare a mansion, Jesus said, I'll go. If it were not true, I would have told you so. I mean, if it's our faith in the Lord and our faith in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And like he said, I've gone to prepare a place for you. I have to leave. And he also says, if I didn't leave, the Comforter wouldn't come back, the Holy Ghost. But if you think about that promise and that wholesomeness that he's preparing that place, we would not fear tomorrow. We would not fear the rest of today, because with that hope in Jesus, everything's okay. One way or the other, we're just going to give him the glory and honor. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We're going to go ahead and take up the evening offering. I don't have any announcements right now, except Sister Linda did announce that the Amazing Gracers will not have a meeting. I think she said until January, right? I'm Amazing Grace. Ida Bell, that's right. I'm sorry, I had Amazing Grace written down. So, praise the Lord, praise God. All righty. Brother Jim, if you'd ask the Lord just to bless our Wednesday night offering. Yes. Amen. Brother Jim, come on up.
Since I've sang this song. It's been a while since I've sang it all. I don't know if I can get through it or not, but I know God's going to help one way or the other. Y'all may have to pick up wherever I fall out at, okay? But you know, we have so many things down here that seem to be troubling us and worrying us these days. But Our faith and trust is in Jesus Christ. And we just have to hold on to Him. No matter what, we have to hold on to Him. But all this worry is going to be over one day. And I won't have to worry about the things that goes on down here. So y'all pray for me. Down here, my burdens are heavy, and the road seems rough and long. Sometimes my feet grow weary, and so sore. There's a brighter day a-coming. Soon I'll step on heaven's shore, and I won't have to worry anymore. I won't have to worry when I reach the other shore. All my troubles will be over, and I'll rest. And I've said my last goodbyes, I'll see my Savior standing at the door. I'll hear Him say, "You're welcome. All your cares are left behind." And I won't have to worry anymore.
Without Jesus, the shepherd of my Great and mighty God we serve. Amen. Loving God, great, greatly to be praised. His majesty is beyond our ability to even comprehend. His strength is amazing, yet His love is so endearing. Amen. A deity that's powerful, that all-knowing, yet is conscious of our very needs and our very thoughts. And to have a personal relationship with the Lord is it's just overwhelming to me that, you know, personal relationships are wonderful. When you have a personal relationship with certain people, you know, you really have something in common with them, and that's great and wonderful. But you think of all the people in the world, and the many people who are born again, and the Lord is able to have a personal relationship with each and every one who will come to Him at an altar of repentance and ask Jesus Christ to come into their life and take up His abode. And you can have that constant abode through that special, wonderful personal relationship that we have with the Lord Jesus Christ. If you have your Bibles tonight, we're going back to the book of Exodus. We're going to visit Moses again. Man, I'm intrigued by Moses. Never tire of hearing or reading about the exploits of the children of Israel, how that they went, you know, from Egypt and Egyptian bondage to the Promised Land. And it's such a type and shadow of what we're faced today and what we face in our life. We're on a journey. Man, we're on a spiritual journey. When we come out of bondage, when we come out of sin's hold and out of sin's bondage, you know, that doesn't mean that everything's going to be rosy. That doesn't mean that we're going to have just a clear path and no problems or trials. Amen. Sometimes it's a wilderness journey itself. But the one good thing we know about it is the Lord is going to be with us through each and every step of the way. In Exodus, the 33rd chapter tonight, Exodus 33, we want to read verses 8 through 11 and maybe take our text from there. Again, Exodus chapter number 33, beginning with verse number 8. Thank you for standing for the reading of God's holy word. And it came to pass, when Moses went out unto the tabernacle, that all the people rose up, and stood every man at his tent door, and looked after Moses until he was gone into the tabernacle. And it came to pass, as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle. And the Lord talked with Moses. And all the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle door. And all the people rose up and worshipped every man in his tent door. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again into the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. Can we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we're so thankful, God, for Your love, Your abundant mercy and grace. Thank You for those who've gathered here tonight. Thank You for those who are tuning in by the live stream. And Father, we pray Your blessing. We pray Your anointing tonight. God, we reach out to those who are sick. Many are suffering. Many are afflicted, God, but we know that You're able to speak healing to each and every one who's in need tonight. Father, we ask You to bless and anoint tonight these lips of clay. God, in this vessel tonight, God, just that we may hear from heaven, God, and speak that You would have us to hear, that we might be submissive and obedient to Your word and to Your will, and we'll look to You, dear Lord, and give You all the praise, the honor, and the glory. We ask these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise tonight, if you would. Amen. What an honor it is to praise the Lord, and even what a privilege it is to praise the Lord. I never get tired of glorifying Him, and we can lift up our hands and praise Him. We can also put our hands together and praise the Lord. You know, we don't only have to do that in church. Many, many times we can just praise the Lord out there in the world, wherever we may be. It reminds me of the time that I was traveling in the bread truck, and I was just glorifying and praising the Lord. That was the old bread trucks. It wasn't the Isuzus that are now with the cab. This was the step van, and it was all open in there, and the bread trays were rattling and making noises, and to me it sounded like an orchestra. And I was just singing and praising on the Lord. And, you know, then we stopped at a traffic light, and, you know, I just kept singing, and of course the tray stopped and the noise stopped, but I kept singing, and I happened to notice the lady in front of me. She was stopped, and she was looking in the rearview mirror, just smiling at me and laughing. I guess she figured I had the radio blasting, but I was kind of making music to the Lord, and we did that many, many times, just glorifying and praising the Lord, because in those bread trucks, you couldn't have a radio, you couldn't hear it. But we can praise the Lord any and every time, and I thank God for the opportunity that we have to praise Him. Tonight, for a little while, I just want to talk on maybe a lesson text or a message text tonight, and if I had a text or a topic, it would be one-on-one with God, one-on-one with God. Here we find the children of Israel, and again, they've just come out of Egyptian bondage, and they're on the wilderness journey, and already a little moaning and groaning has set in, a little complacency, a little aggravation, impatientness have set in, and again, they begin to chide with Moses, and in fact, God tells Moses in the previous verses to call them a stiff-necked people, and he does, and it doesn't set real well with the congregation. So they're kind of on edge, if you think about it. You know how that leaders are sometimes. When things are going good, they're a good leader. When things are going bad, they're not such a good leader. And this was the case with Moses and the children of Israel. It was almost like a roller coaster ride, if you would, through the wilderness journey. God would open up the Red Sea, and oh, they glorified and praised God. And then all of a sudden, there's starvation, they're hungry, they wish they was back in Egypt, at least eating some of the pomegranates and cucumbers of Egypt, rather than having to live on whatever was there in the wilderness. But God sent manna, rained manna down from them. That wasn't enough. They wanted some meat. God let quail walk into the camp. So every time that God would provide, they would be happy and excited and glorify God. Then they would get back in their same old routine of moaning and groaning and complaining. Here we find that this is one of those down times. This was one of those times when the children of Israel were a little bit aggravated and impatient with Moses. Moses was waiting to hear from God. How many know sometimes it's best to wait to hear from God before we make any decisions or before we take off in a direction that may be the wrong way? So we find that Moses is going to the tabernacle. Now the tabernacle, Bible history tells us that Moses purposely built the tabernacle or erected the tabernacle outside of the camp. You know, in traveling, they traveled with their tents. There were no permanent buildings. Everything was mobile because there was constantly a people that was on the move. And they were going, and if you've ever looked in some of the Bibles in the map that portrays the wilderness journey, it wasn't a straight line as the crow flies. They were backtracking, they were zigzagging, they were going here and going there. There was a reason for that, by the way. The children of Israel didn't understand it, but God had a purpose for that. He wanted to make sure that the children of Israel were dependent on Him through the wilderness journey, not just march right into the Canaan land and forget their provider that was God. So there was a reason there. So, but God was always providing for them. So this is one of those particular times that they were down, and they were a little bit agitated and impatient, and Moses begins to pray to God. God, I need you to speak to me. I need to understand exactly what I'm going to do. And you know, this wasn't too far after the fire on the backside of the desert, after God had already called Moses. And you know, Moses' response was, you know, I can't do it. I can't go. I'm not the person. I'm not qualified. I'm not a good speaker. God said, I got it all. I got it just in, everything is just in order. All I need you to do is just be obedient. You know, and so many times when God begins to speak to us, we begin to offer up all kind of excuses why we can't, why we need to get somebody else. You know, that's one of the things that God hears more, I believe, than anything else. When He calls somebody to do something, that person says, well, you know what? You need to call so-and-so because they'd do a lot better job. Let me tell you something about God. He knows what He's doing, and He knows who He's talking to, and He knows who He wants to fit into one that particular part of the ministry. So God is speaking to Moses, and Moses said, Lord, this is a bigger job than I thought it was going to be. I need you to help me, and I need you to guide me, and I need you to let me know exactly what I'm supposed to do. So Moses purposely built the tabernacle outside of the camp. And it was not just a little camp. It was a massive camp. There were tents lined up, because there were a bunch of people, multitude of people that came out of Egyptian bondage. So they had their tents with them. So it was like a little, almost like a community. I mean, you probably had the rows and rows of tents, and you had these little streets through there. So Moses went outside of that particular area. He wanted it to be a place of consecration. He wanted it to be a place that didn't get lost in all of the talk and the chatter and everything that was going on inside the camp. He wanted to be dedicated and committed to God. So he put it outside of the little ring of camps and tents that was there. So Moses is going to the tabernacle. And as Moses is going to the tabernacle, the children of Israel begin to watch him. And I think, first of all, they're watching him to see what he's up to. He's already had an earful of their complaints. And he's already had an earful, and he's about headed up to here. He's about ready to throw the towel in, about ready to quit. But he's going to the tabernacle. He's going to listen to God. Not really just to speak to God, but to listen to God. And I thought about that. You know, if we could find it somehow in our spirit, when we gather together to come to listen to God, come to be, submissive and obedient to the will of God, rather than to, you know, just pour it out to God or just tell Him everything that's been going wrong. Just say, you know what, Lord, we're just going to gather here tonight to hear a word from You, to hear the direction that You would have us to go. You know what my week's been like. So many times we think we have to fill God in on everything that's happened. Amen. Maybe you don't, but some of us do, you know, say, well, Lord, you just wouldn't understand. Well, yes, He does. He knows exactly what's going on. And I got news for you. He knows all of the turmoil that's happening in the world today. And you know what? He doesn't seem to be too concerned about it. He doesn't seem to be worried about it. He's not wringing His hands and saying, oh, my goodness, this world's in a bad shape. I don't know what I'm going to do. That's us. But He's got it under control. So if we just learn to just say, Lord, you know what? You're in charge. So be it. Whatever You want to do, Lord, just help me to be submissive. So Moses decides this is a big, big, not a burden really, well, kind of a burden, but it's a big opportunity and it's a big responsibility for him to lead the children of Israel. So he said, Lord, I need You to speak to me. I need You to tell me exactly. You know, Daddy used to say, now explain that to me again. You know, let me hear that one more time, because he wanted to know exactly what the directions was that Miss Kate was giving him. And we should be that way with God. I want to hear directly from You. You know, and I'm just a mere mortal, and sometimes You may have to repeat it, God, because I want to be sure and I want to be clear that I'm exactly on the same frame of mind that You are, because I don't want to step aside to the left or right. I want to be exactly in Your will. And I believe this is what Moses was doing on his way to church, on his way to the tabernacle, on his way to communicate and receive from God direction in his life. So as he's going, I'm almost thinking he has a purpose in his step. How many, sometimes when you're going and you already have a purpose in your step, you walk a little bit different. Have you ever walked in a place where you was really unsure where you was or what you was going to do? You don't know it, but you got this look on your face. You're not, where am I or what am I doing here? But I believe Moses had a purpose. I believe as he walked by the tents, maybe some people waved. He may have waved at them, but his mind was elsewhere. Bear with me just a little bit. And maybe as he walked by some of the tents and some of the things that were going on, you just imagine how many people that were there. There was probably some of the children running around and playing games, and maybe there were some of the family sitting around a campfire discussing what they was going to have for supper that night, or you know, just a number of different things. But Moses is determined that he is going to the tabernacle. And in order to get to the tabernacle, he's got to go past all of this disturbance, all of this talking, all of this communication and everything that's going on, kind of like we are sometimes, if you've ever noticed, if you have to drive some distance to church, especially sometimes on a pretty Sunday, you can see all kind of activity going on. But you got a purpose. You're headed to the house of God. You're headed to a place to get some food, some spiritual food from God and some direction from God. And I believe Moses was the same way. And as he begins to walk, maybe he throws his hands up at some, and maybe some of them are kind of talking behind his back, wonder where Moses is going, wonder what he's got on his mind, wonder what he's going to do. And then they see him finally reach the door of the tabernacle, and he goes into the church house. And the Bible says when he does, the Spirit or the cloud, symbolic of the power of God. You remember the fire that led the children of Israel by night and the pillar that led a pillar of smoke that led them by the day. And when it stopped, the children of Israel was supposed to stop. But when it moved, the children of God, children of Israel would move as well. And God was visiting this tabernacle as Moses went in. And it says that pillar or that cloudy pillar stood at the door. Not a form of a man, but the pillar stood at the door. And Moses entered into this communication with the Lord, and God began to speak to him there. And the Bible tells us, too, that after he came out, that Joshua was still in the tabernacle. He was still praying. Joshua was not the leader, but Joshua was still praying. Because God had a calling on Joshua's life as well. You know, Joshua took the reign after Moses was out of the picture. So Joshua probably felt that maybe it wasn't his time yet, but he felt a desire and a need to be in touch with God because God had a calling upon his life. Sometimes we may not know what that calling is. We may not know what God wants us to do, but if we'll pray long enough, if we'll continue to come into the tabernacle, which is symbolic of the presence of God, God will lead us and direct us and guide us into what he would have us to do. So Moses goes into the tabernacle, and this is what phrase or what particular verse really, really stuck out in my mind as I was reading. It said that in verse number 11, "And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face." Man, face to face. God, in his busyness, God, in his majesty, God, in his greatness, in his all-powerful, all-being, took the time to speak to Moses face to face. And I'm thinking over in the New Testament, the Bible says that God is no respecter of person. Moses was a mighty leader, but God would still take the opportunity and the time to speak to his children today face to face if we'll come before him with a broken and contrite spirit, amen, an open heart and an open mind, and begin to listen to the power of God. It would almost seem like that cloudy pillar of smoke would just hover around us. How many knows what I'm talking about sometimes? When you lay down every problem, you lay down every trouble, and all that's on your mind is a face-to-face conversation with the Lord. Amen? There is nothing better. That is glorious. That is wonderful. Just to hear from the presence of God, to feel the Holy Ghost as it completely engulfs you. There's nothing like that. And God loves us so much that he takes the time to speak to us face-to-face. And then the very next words are, "As a man speaketh unto his friend." Do you realize that there's just a little bit of difference when you're talking to a close friend? I mean, knows that you can open up to a close friend. Some folks you can't open up to. Amen. You open up to them, then you hear it all over the place. But you have those close friends, those people that you have something in common with. It may be a spouse. It may be a cohort that you work with. It may be a relative. It may be a brother or sister in church or whatever it is. But when you talk to them, it's a different, you feel at ease. Amen. Nobody's got friends like that you get to, you just be yourself. You can be at ease, and you can just, you know, you don't have to be eloquent in your speech. You don't have to try to put on any way. You're just yourself. And I thought about, not only will God speak to us face to face, but he will allow me to just be myself. Amen? And he'll talk to me, and I can talk to him as I would a friend. We don't have to impress God when we pray. We don't have to use big words or quote scripture when we come before the presence of God. How many knows you can just be your own self? It doesn't matter what you're doing. It doesn't matter what you're involved in. Lord, here I am. Lord, I just need to hear from you. I just need to feel your presence. I just need you to give me that refreshing one more time as a friend-to-friend conversation. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that a privilege? Isn't that a great opportunity to be able to have a one-on-one with God? It's wonderful. It's amazing. You know, I had an opportunity. Well, I had several opportunities to speak to pastors and church leaders in my life. And I recall one time, long, long time ago, when Karen was still in school, and she was in early elementary school, but we had placed her in a Christian school. And I got to sit down and talk with the principal one night, and who just happened to be a pastor of a church, a long time pastor, and his hair was already white, and something about pastor makes your hair turn white. I'm not exactly sure what that does, but the years of experience, And he said, come on into the office. You know, they were getting ready and doing something around the school and the parents and all in there. And he invited me into his office. And I sat down. And, you know, it wasn't like that I was in the principal's office. Anybody ever have to go to the principal's office and, you know, you're sitting there not knowing what's going on? He made me feel so comfortable. He made me feel completely at ease. And we got to talking. And, you know, he knew that I was young in the ministry. And, you know, he wasn't lording over me, but he was giving me some very good sage advice. And I remember him saying, I'm going to give you two phrases that you're going to be able to use in your ministry, probably for the rest of the time that you're in the work for the Lord, or in pastoring or preaching or whatever. And man, I'm sitting on the edge of my seat thinking, Lord have mercy, I'm fixing to hear something profound. He's fixing to give me something that I can use, and man, it'd be like I've been pastoring for 30 years. And he said, here's the phrases I'm going to give you. He said, the first one is, uh-huh. I know I've shared this with you before, because y'all know what's coming. He said, uh-huh. I didn't know what was coming. I said, what? He said, uh-huh. And then he followed up. He said, the second one is, and I was waiting, and I said, is that it? He said, that's it, but I will assure you, you will use those two phrases more than you do anything else. He said, most times when people come into your study, they'll already let you know what's going on in their life, what the problem is, and most times, if you'll just listen, they'll work it out themselves. They'll get up and shake your head and say, Pastor, you sure have helped me, and all you said was, uh-huh, and oh. Because they need somebody to listen, they need somebody to care, and they need somebody to let them know that everything is going to be all right. And you know what? The man knew exactly what he's talking about. I've used that a lot. Probably some of you said, that's what you was doing when I was talking to you. But it works because, you know, there's things that somebody in a friendship can tell you. You know, he probably wouldn't have just shared that with anybody because people would say, oh, wait a minute. You know, I thought he was going to tell me something really, really great. But as a friend talks to a friend. So I think sometimes when we enter into that holy conversation with God, we're expecting God to maybe use these big, long commandment words and all. And sometimes it may be just like, peace, be still. Think about that statement. Peace, be still. Now, coming from me, that doesn't mean a whole lot. But God, face to face, as he's talking to a friend, tells you, peace, be still. Or come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That means something coming from God. And we have that opportunity to come before the presence of God. So Moses had that opportunity. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face as a man speaketh unto his friend. And then he turned again into the camp, but his servant Joshua, who was the son of Nun, a young man, departed not. He stayed in the temple praying. But another thing, as the Spirit of God hovered around the door, something happened to all the tents around there. The Bible says all the men begin to worship God. You know, sometimes it doesn't take but one person to get everybody else to worship and praise God. Amen. You get one person in tune, even in a service. If they're really worshiping and praising God, it's contagious. It begins to spread. All a wildfire needs is a spark. Amen. One spark can get a wildfire started. Same thing in a Holy Ghost-filled service. So then Moses begins to ask the Lord. In verse number 12, 13, 14, and 15 is what he talked about. It's what he wanted God to speak to him. So he said, first of all, who will go with me? He said in verse number 12, and Moses said unto the Lord, see, thou sayest unto me, bring up this people. See, again, Moses is reminding God what God's already called him to do. And let me tell you something. God does not suffer amnesia. He does not suffer forgetfulness. He knows exactly what he's told you. He knows exactly what he's called you to do. And he knows exactly what he said and how he said it. But Moses said, Lord, see, you've told me to bring this people up, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Lord, you've got to help me out. You've got to send somebody with me. And then he goes on to say, yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Imagine you're speaking to God one-on-one, face-to-face, as a friend to friend, and God calls your name. You know what? There's something said in statistics that people love to hear their name called. I don't know. It's not a prideful thing. It's just maybe, you know, when you call people's name. And like if you're plant president's walking around and he's walking by and you say, hey, how you doing? And he just says, hey, how you doing? If he says, hey, Thomas, how's it going? Hey, president knows my name, you know. There's something about that. Hey, Jim, how's it going? Hey, Lane, I know you run this place over here, but I'm the president. Just wanted to tell you how much we appreciate you. It makes you feel good. It makes you feel like you're appreciated a little bit. Imagine God say, hey, Eddie, we got this. Jenya, I know what you've been going through, but this is God speaking to you. It's all under control. Isn't that something when he calls our name and begins to speak to us? And that's what Moses is there. And he says, I know that know thee by my name, and thou hast found also found grace in thy sight. Now, therefore, I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. Moses begins to make the right choices. He begins to say the right things. Basically what he's saying, Lord, I know you've called me. And the kind of between the lines, I don't know why you've called me. I don't have the qualifications. There's many other people that could do a better job, but I understand. I saw the burning bush, and I understand that the voice of God spoke from that bush and told me that I have called thee to go down into Egypt. I got that part. I understand. But, Lord, I'm still going to need your help. I'm still going to need your guidance. You're going to send somebody with me? I need some support. But mainly, Lord, I know that you're going to be with me, and I want to do exactly the commandment that you want me to do. I don't want to depend on my own self. Basically, that's what he's not verbally saying, but that's kind of what the conversation is about. Lord, I need your help. I need you to guide me. So he says, I know that I may find grace in thy sight and consider that this nation is thy people. In other words, Lord, I'm not patting myself on the back because you called me to lead these people. I'm just a nothing. I'm a nobody. I know these people belong to you. I know they're part of your covenant, the covenant of Abraham. You remember that? You know, so many times we might forget a covenant, but God never forgets a covenant. And if he's ever told you, I'm going to take care of it, you better count on it because that's a covenant from God, and he don't break covenants. Amen. And he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. Basically, he said, why are you wanting somebody else to go with you when you know that I am going to be with you? You know what he said from the burning bush? He said, tell them, I am. I am has sent you, and I am will be with you always. And he said, my presence shall go with thee, and will give thee rest. And then Moses makes this statement. And he said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. In other words, Lord, if you're not going to be with me, I ain't going. It's like that song, I won't walk without Jesus, I won't talk without Jesus, I won't do anything without the Lord. Because anything that I would do without the Lord is not worth doing. So that's what Moses said. If you'll go with me, I'm doing it. Whatever you lead me, I'm in for the duration. And then Moses has a request, and we're not going to get into that tonight, but I'll just kind of just tease you with just a little bit. You already know. Moses wants to see God. You know, he just needs another assurance. And, you know, aren't we kind of like that sometimes? We get the affirmation, we get the go-ahead from God, and then after we step out on faith, and then we kind of say, well, Lord, maybe just one more sign to make sure. You know, Gideon said, I'm going to put a fleece out, and if you'll let that fleece be dry and the dew around it, then I'll know. And God did it, and then Gideon says, maybe happenstance, circumstance, let's do it again. Let's let the fleece be wet this time and the dew, the grass around it be dry. God did that. And so many times we're so human that we want that extra assurance that it is God. We want that extra assurance. One more sign, Lord. Just give me one more sign. Yeah. Amen. You know, what did he tell those that he was praying? Oh, ye of little faith. Oh, ye, and that's us. Oh, me of little faith sometimes when I keep looking for a sign, looking for a sign, looking for a sign. You know, if we're always looking for a sign, you know what the Bible said? Signs are for the unbelievers. We're believers, folks. Amen. We ought to just go on God's word when he says that. So Moses says, Lord, I want to see you. God, I want to see you. I want to feel your presence. And God says, the only way you can do it is if I cover your face. I cover your eyes where you can't see, because no man can look on God and live. So he goes and he just kind of sees the hinder parts. In other words, to assure him that I am going to be with you. Whether that be in a cloud of smoke, whether that be in a pillar of fire, or whether that be through the dispensation of the Holy Ghost. Amen. That came when he sent his son on the cross of Calvary and Jesus died and went away and said, I won't leave you comfortless. Don't worry. I'm going to send him back to comfort in my name. How many is thankful that we now have that face-to-face, that one-on-one time with the Lord any day, any time, any hour? You don't have to make a call and push two or three buttons just to get to a human voice. Amen. It can be in the midnight hour. How many has ever found Jesus awake and attentive in the midnight hour, whenever a situation is, even in the doctor's office, 7 days a week, amen, 24 hours a day, doesn't matter. He doesn't take holidays off. He doesn't take vacations. He's always there for us each and every time. And we can have that one-on-one with God anytime, amen. No appointment needed. Somebody put your hands together for that. We don't have to have an appointment. Amen. We can walk right in. Amen, to that audience with God, and know that he will be there and be very attentive. Not only attentive, I don't think you'll find God saying, uh-huh, and ah. I think you'll find him giving you a very, very direct and a very, not only a direct, but a correct direction in our life in any situation. How many knows if you lack of understanding or lack wisdom, the Bible says, let him ask of God, and God will always lead you right. Because he's still that I am God. Do you love the Lord tonight? I love you. I love you so much. Y'all are so precious. Appreciate y'all being here on a Wednesday night. Certainly hope that you're doing well and have a great balance of the week. Would you stand tonight? If you have a need, please come forward. We'll pray with you. Pray for you tonight, because we have that audience with God tonight. Amen. Amen. And I'm glad to know, too, that we don't just have to be in the tabernacle to feel the presence of God, because the Spirit of God now is mobile and it can be with us each and every day, everywhere we go. And I'm like Moses. God, if you don't go with me, I ain't going. But I'm so glad that God does go with us. Praise God. You need to touch for your body. He's also a healing God, isn't he?
Yes, he is. Amen.
Lord said, with his stripes we are healed. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come tonight, God, as we anoint, as the Bible says,